will find, read for text, where you'll find the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. This wonderful gospel was preached to Abraham in his day. He had faith to believe in it. The dear Lord Jesus said, Abraham beheld my day and was glad. This wonderful gospel, these good news, they flow to sinners through that wonderful person of the dear Lord Jesus. He is a sacred channel through which it flows. What a wonderful gift was that which God gave to his church. We read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This wonderful gospel, when it is known and felt in a sinner's heart, glorifies the dear Lord Jesus. He is exalted in that sinner's heart. Believing in him, he becomes precious unto them. Very wonderful when we consider these truths, that God should give his dear Son, that he should be born of a virgin, take flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, that in that humanity, or with that humanity, he might suffer, bleed and die. Deity could not suffer, could not bleed, could not die. But as the Son of Man, he could. And being sustained and supported by his Godhead, this wonderful gospel has saved a countless number of poor sinners. Through Jesus' precious blood and righteousness, they have got saved to heaven. The vital part of our text perhaps, is that word power. When the word or the gospel comes with power into a sinner's heart, not when it comes in word only, you may hear approvingly, you may so far know that what the man says is the truth, but that cannot save you. You get excited in religion or with religion sometimes. My dear friends, there's no excitement in that sinner's heart. When the gospel I'll tell you what there is joy, there is peace, there is thankfulness, there is happiness, wherever this gospel flows. But as we hinted this morning, there must be the wound. The Holy Ghost gives the wound, and the Holy Ghost leads the sinner to this gospel that they might find healing. We finish this morning by mentioning that where the gospel comes with power through the Holy Ghost, brings the felt pardon of sin, wonderful blessing, to feel our sins forgiven. That's a great trouble with God's dear people, to know their sins, which are many, are all forgiven. We may not have been left to go into things as the worldling goes into them, the ungodly goes into them, but his heart sins. They quite often try God's dear people, and they want forgiveness in their heart. Wouldn't do us any good tonight to go to a poor Romish priest and confess our sins and for him to say, I absolve thee. Wouldn't do us a bit of good. No, you know, they tell them, these Romish priests tell them, that's the gospel. They misapply God's holy word. But as we read this morning, if any preach another gospel which is not a gospel, let him be accursed. I thought last night they're very, very solemn words. How terrible to be left to deceive people and to tell them something short of the gospel of God's grace can save them. They think they're dying or appear to be near the end. They send for the priest, and that priest says after confession, I absolve thee from all thy sins, my dear friend. That's not the gospel. It's a wonderful blessing to be saved from these deceitful things. I may say from these devilish things, and that is all they are. But this gospel, which Paul preached, which he called his gospel, our gospel, he and the other apostles preached the same gospel, and that will bring pardon into a sinner's heart. You may have to wait for it. You may have to seek it long. It quite often comes, if it comes through the ministry, when you least expect it. You may come to chapel feeling almost on the borders of despair, feeling it's no use your going, but the Lord may take an unexpected text. Blessed to your soul, what a change is made. The burden is removed. Old things pass away. All things become come new, the time of the singing of birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Perhaps you're waiting for it, longing for it. My dear friends, it can only come through the gospel. But you might say, I'm too unworthy. I'm too sinful. No sinner yet. Receive the gospel because they're worthy of it. Not one, and none ever will. It comes freely to God's people. It's all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know, living faith is a wonderful grace, and the time comes when that sinner cannot take no for an answer. Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We are not promised an easy path to heaven. No, it's a hard path. Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom, and the blessings of the gospel are not got easily. Naturally speaking, things which come easily to people are often not much appreciated. Those things they labor for, sweat for, they value them. Some people got a very easy religion, come by it easily, but they don't value it. It's got no value in it. God's dear people have to labor hard for their blessings. They have to seek them earnestly. They have to seek them with all their heart. Then shall you find me, when ye seek me with all your heart. I haven't found religion to be easy. I don't find it to be easy. I don't suppose I shall. Neither will you, if the Holy Spirit be your teacher. But what a blessing to be one of those overcomers mentioned in the second and third of the Revelation. An overcomer, a wrestler, at the throne of grace, and wrestling for the gospel and what it contains. That's very different to it coming in word only. Very different, you know, than just taking a text out of a box and appropriating it to yourself. That won't do for God's dear people. I was once at Bacon Heath, at a prayer meeting. Godly old man there in heaven, he prayed and he said, Lord, we want realties. I thought, man, that's just what we want. Those things which are real, which have got the Holy Ghost's seal upon them. Well, this gospel is a gospel of peace. It wouldn't matter what our circumstances were, if God blessed the gospel to us, it would bring sacred peace to our heart. Last year, early in the year, as I lay in hospitalizing, I felt as dark could be, as miserable as ever anyone could be. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to do. And I feared the future. But you know, I believe that night the dear Holy Spirit breathed this gospel of peace into my heart. How sacred it was, by faith, to look upon the dear Lord Jesus, feel everything was in his hands. My dear friends, it's a gospel of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. How sacred to enjoy this peace, gospel peace, into your heart. You get a peace in religion, but not gospel peace. Natural peace. Didn't have any worth. But oh, when this gospel comes with power, it does something for God's dear people, something they could never do for themselves. Turns night into day, opens the prison doors for them. It's a gospel of glorious liberty. And that sinner walks, whilst under the enjoyment of it, in sweet liberty. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How wonderful to enjoy this gospel liberty. The Lord, by applying that wonderful gospel to us in his heart, sets him at liberty. Then, when the gospel comes with power, it's a gospel of hope. There isn't any hope apart from the gospel. There's the hope of the hypocrite. But what's that worth? No. Not worth anything, is it? But this gospel hope is very wonderful. Tell me, what is more blessed than to feel in your heart a good hope that when you die, you will go to glory? I can't think of anything to be compared to this wonderful and glorious gospel hope. And it can only come through the gospel. It does come into the hearts of poor hopeless sinners, burdened and dejected sinners. Some who feel almost on the brink of despair, this gospel, when it comes in power, with power, produces a good hope. You may have had words put in your lips almost. It's what they do in Church of England, repeating and say, I believe in these things. and they pronounce such to be children of God. That's not a good hope. I would say tonight, if you've got a good hope, there was a time with you when you hadn't got one. When you felt a poor, hopeless sinner, and you didn't know what to do. What a wonderful thing that the dear Lord should look upon these poor sinners and bless the gospel to them and raise up in their hearts good hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. The gospel, my dear friends, is a sure foundation, safe, secure foundation. Naturally, we don't see much of a foundation, do we? It's laid, soon covered up. But if it isn't good, sound will show itself in time. And just so, with God's dear people, they have a sure foundation they build upon. Sure foundation, other foundation, can no man lay than that which is laid. And that foundation is the gospel in the person of God's dear Son. And that safe. Have you ever felt you could sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? Has the Lord lovingly and mercifully stripped you of everything else and yet blessed you and favored you with this sure foundation? The Lord Jesus himself is that sure foundation upon which his dear people build. Dear name, the rock on which I build. Isn't it wonderful that a sinner whose heart by nature is at enmity to God, enmity to the Lord Jesus, though Pharisees and Sadducees, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, they hated him. Your heart's no better. My heart is no better by nature. You say, "Well, I don't hate Jesus." You don't know. The Holy Spirit was to be your teacher. Some things, as we say, went contrary with you, and you got left to the rebellion of your heart, you would very, very solemnly find that there is no love in your heart by nature to the dear Lord Jesus. Paul in the 7th of Romans tells us very clearly about the carnal heart. No man had fuller, sweeter assurance than Paul had. But I feel thankful he has left on record what he felt sometimes by nature. Carnal mind's enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When shall we get rid of this old nature? Not whilst we're alive. Not whilst we're here on earth. But when the time comes for the Lord to take us, then we shall lay down this opposition, this enemy of ours. I think a good godly Rutherford, once he said, perhaps in one of his sermons, "Oh, that I had not a myself." But you see, God's dear people, they have that sweet hope that at last there will be no more conflict, no more warfare, no more opposition. Grace is enabling them to build upon that sure foundation. Now our text speaks of this gospel being in the hands of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that's true. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Oh, how vital this is to seek the gracious help of the Holy Spirit. When you come to sum these things up, it excludes all boasting. We haven't a thing to boast of, my friends. No, not one thing. We've got everything in ourselves to be ashamed of. We have indeed. And you'll love the Holy Spirit. Though, as we sometimes sing, he omits to speak of what he himself does, you'll feel his influence in your heart. Feel sometimes his help in prayer. Feel his help sometimes in preaching. Feel his help in enabling you to believe in the things that you hear. My friends, a religion without the Holy Spirit is worthless, of no value at all. Thus, as we journey on, perhaps we may feel more and more how we need the Holy Spirit to bring home to our hearts his gospel. You may say and feel within, well, I know I cannot get it. I know I cannot get the satisfaction in my soul that I long for. Not a bad mark. But my friends, there's one who can bring home that satisfaction, who can satisfy your soul. And that one is the Holy Ghost leading you to that glorious and adorable person, the dear Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to have this blessed Spirit working in our hearts, leading us to the dear Lord Jesus. Now in our text, it is mentioned that these at Thessalonica, they enjoyed the gospel, and through the Holy Ghost had much assurance. You may say, well, don't speak to us on much assurance, but you know, our unbelief, our doubts and fears bring no glory to God. Strictly speaking, no marks of grace. No. What are marks of grace? You might say, the effects and fruits of the gospel in a sinner's heart. You may have enjoyed this assurance. You may not have had a doubt or fear, felt sweetly assured you get the glory. Thy good top lady says, yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure. Glorified spirits in heaven. Oh, it's very wonderful to have a little sweet gospel assurance, a gospel hope in your poor soul. How tried are those who, wherever they go, seem to meet with unbelief. Simple things, perhaps in Swavesey tonight, to say, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee, Mr. Oh, I would say, press on, poor sinner, as the Lord may help you. Though so hindered by unbelief and doubts and fears, no mark against you. But you need an overcoming grace. You need a precious faith, which is a gift of God, and in much assurance. Some of God's dear people have wonderfully enjoyed this. They come near the end of the journey. I believe this, you know, some of them have had far clearer, sweeter views. They got near the end than they had during their lifetime. God has so blessed them and so favored them in their dying moments with faith in himself, in his precious blood, in his glorious person, at God's right hand, that died in peace. Oh, what a favor that will be. I hope some of us think a good deal about our latter end. We can't be very far from it. No. What a mercy. Sometimes you feel a little assurance. You may feel like this, well, if God comes to me and blesses me in the end, as I hope he has blessed me a few times, it will not be death for me to die. And in much assurance, well, I believe, you know, this dear man could see in these Thessalonians the fruits of the Spirit. The dear Lord Jesus said, and by their fruit ye shall know them. And the apostle knew the effects of the gospel in a sinner's heart, sweetly humbles them. Lays them in the dust. It does. Makes them feel chief of sinners, the least of all saints. I've thought sometimes, you know, real religion doesn't need any advertising. Now a person may not bear to say much. Their life tweeting clearly sets forth that they are the recipients of this gospel. Then the apostle said, as ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake, ordinary men. Paul was educated, but the others, they observed, were unlearned men. Yet, how wonderfully they preached the gospel. Some of God's servants, you know, have hardly been able to read a chapter correctly in the Bible. Yet they've been able to preach the gospel clearly, lovingly, faithfully. And so with some of Paul's companions, because ye know what manner of men we were. They didn't need any outward adornment, did they? No. They preach a gospel from a gracious experience of it, that which had handled, tasted and felt, they proclaimed. And I believe it is so today, where the Holy Spirit truly blesses. There was no put on with these ministers in the early church. No. They preached such a gospel, and they proved it so wonderfully from God's word that the enemies of truth were sometimes silent. And some who were the enemies of truth were brought under this wonderful gospel, turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. Well, do you know this gospel? There isn't another. Sure, there's no other gospel. I don't want any other. This one's full. This one's free. This one is inexhaustible. It is. And as we hinted this morning, it's an everlasting gospel. The Lord blesses few things for his name's sake.